Greetings, citizens. Welcome to Spoon, the Tick versus the Podcast. We still can claim, even over last week, that we're the only tick-related podcast on the internet. I am not the usual voice that you hear at this point. That's Tim Spaulding. He is on hiatus while we retool. In the meantime, I'm Stephen Bost, and with me, sign in, sir.
Hello, everybody. This is Derek.
I somehow felt there would be more there. Hi, Derek.
I apologize. I'm going the mono name today, like Cher or Madonna.
Right. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Now, I see you constantly putting up pictures of people you've met and schmoozed in the last week. Have you met or talked to anyone interesting?
In the last week, have I met or talked to anyone interesting? Well, there is this young fella who may or may not be the one of the lead characters in a very exciting opportunity on Amazon called The Tick. A young man by the name of Griffin, who was kind enough to speak to us, Griffin Newman.
Griffin Newman. And he told us, and I assume this was not just incredible flattery, but that he has listened to every one of our episodes in preparation for the role. If he follows through, he will be listening to this one eventually as well, in which case, Griffin, thanks again, man. It was awesome.
And the secret word this week is artichoke.
Secret word, safe word, whatever you want to call it.
Well, he'll know what to do with it.
Right. Yeah, we'll plug that again later on. We'll mention because an important date will be coming up just shortly after we go to press, air, whatever we do. Whatever you do with the pod, right before we go to pod and transform.
Yes.
But the reason you're listening, of course, Tick fans, if any, is because we're going to have a commentary that, as always, you can overlay while watching and reliving a classic episode of the 1990s cartoon series. We're up to our elbows in season two. And today's episode, Bloomsday, we're just about to start.
Now, before we start, I just had a quick question. Since you said Tick fans, if any, do you think we have Tick haters that listen just out of pure
they
rage?
They hate listen to us?
Yes.
Well, we're not incendiary enough, really, to give them satisfaction.
That's true.
I think what I meant with if any, is not that there are Tick fans galore. I'm saying, well, fans of us, if any. And we have one. And, of course, actually, we have commenters on the Facebook that clearly indicate we have listeners. We're glad to have you. Unless
yes,
right now you're furiously commenting, bring back Tim, who is this fast-talking clown. I'm going to be going off of the DVD set.
And I will be going off of Nostalgia Tunes on the YouTube, which is actually the underlay track that I keep putting in is usually from the Nostalgia Tunes.
Okay. Underlay. Sex.
Is that the word?
I don't know. It sounds filthy.
I'm
cool with that.
I'll go with it.
So to give a little background for those too young to remember the 1990s, a time of incredible prosperity. This episode, Bloomsday, originally aired on October 21st, 1995. Why is that important?
Why is that important? That would be the day that the musical world lost we can't really call him a legend, but maybe he would have been.
He is now.
He is now. Shannon Hoon of Blind Melon passed away on this day. And it's kind of befitting this episode because anybody that knows Blind Melon knows one of their most iconic images is the young B-girl dancing through their video. And today's episode features Mr. El Cid and the B twins.
Which is a nice connection that would not have occurred to me. So thank you.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, 1995, the fall, you might have thrilled to such movies in the theater as Assassins, which finally teamed Antonio Banderas and Sly Stallone, How to Make an American Quilt, or even The Scarlet Letter, a reprehensible adaptation which changed the ending. So we won't go.
Wasn't that Demi Moore?
Yes, it was Demi Moore. They live happily ever after, for God's sake. And this was just weeks after the O.J. Simpson trial verdict. Just to give you a little socio-political context, what was going on in our country. So now that you have that firmly in mind, millennials, we're going to start this one up. I'm keyed up if you are.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tim gives it a 3 count. I'm going to do it a 4 count.
Let's go crazy. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. And if you're seeing the opening, then you've done it right. And we're off.
We are bouncing through buildings. We are seeing the credits. We've seen 300 times already.
Now, let's get this out of the way at the very top. Writer for this episode, which I didn't actually... Oh, it's Ben Edlund credited. Don't know if he's a much of a literature kind of guy, but this could be a riff on James Joyce's Ulysses, what's come to be known as Bloom's Day, which is the day that all the events of that novel take place. And people, literary nerds, still like to celebrate Bloom's Day every year, which is June 16th, 1904, to be exact. That has really no bearing on when this episode aired. But it brings back... Have I said this, that I think that El Cid is my favorite villain?
You have. Yeah. All right. You have. You have... we have had, what, 2, maybe 3 episodes with El Cid at this point? Or at least... One primary episode and several appearances.
He came to the auction, right?
That's true.
Coach Fussell's lament, but didn't have a lot to do. Here we are. I guess I'll get this out of the way at the top as well. Derek, I don't really care for this episode all that much.
Oh. So it's a double-edged sword for you.
It is. It is. My favorite villain, not handled well enough the second time. Not given enough. But don't turn it off, people. I mean, I should have saved that till the end.
Yes.
Oh, well. Continue. And, you know.
Continue to watch, folks.
Disagree with me, and then we'll have a furious flame war about it.
Yes. Hit the boards. Hit the boards with your complaints. Uncanny.
Let's go find it. I don't know how the tick manages to keep that flower behind his ear.
Yes. And I think it's... interesting that nobody noticed that El Cid was right behind them.
Well, maybe they thought it was just like a little bit of flower show cosplay. Excuse me. That's a very bad idea. But then this is all cosplay, I guess, isn't it?
And that is Professor Ikobana.
Uh-huh.
And I was curious, so I did some research on the old internet.
Uh-huh.
And apparently Ikobana is a Japanese style of flower arranging.
Oh...
So it's not just a clever name.
And that's a much more conservative choice than some kind of tentacle porn, which, yeah.
Yes. Or, you know, the a little bit more cheesy if they had just called her Dr. Banzai or something.
Insensitive, too.
Yeah. Practically wiped out the entire Minamoto dynasty.
Sorry. Yeah, and I think a mark against the episode as well is the old... Main character has an allergy, so has to sneeze through the whole episode trope.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, poor Rob Paulson has to do that. It just takes up time and doesn't really have much of a payoff or like an acceleration.
No, and we've seen it so many times in all the, you know, the stereotypical cheesy sitcom. Mm. It's definitely one of like the bingo tropes.
Yeah.
And if he's so allergic, why is he still holding the flower?
Because he's a hero, man. Mothman, I need your help. Now, I'm not normally attracted to cartoon characters, but if I was, the professor there would be the kind I would be drawn to.
Yeah, they did a good job. Sometimes they tend to make the human characters in the show seem still more cartoony. Mm. And in this one, you know, she definitely has more human feature. Mm. You know. And once again, Arthur is, if you notice, usually alone with the pretty girl in distress. You know? Unfortunately, he never gets anywhere, but... Or he ends up in a whale's stomach.
Well, that is a funny touch. The ghetto, the ratchet business card, as the millennials say. Have you ever done any research into the actual idea behind these flowers that only rarely bloom?
I have not.
I know about...
What do you got for
us? I know about the corpse flower varieties. There was one that just bloomed I think 2 weeks ago in New York City.
Yeah, my wife mentioned that to me.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing where the thing like maybe once a year or even less often blossoms, and then you get an incredible smell of rotting flesh, and it's terrifying and horrifying, but it's rare and good chance for selfies.
They did an episode of The Simpsons based around that.
That's right.
Where everyone in town went to go, and they didn't have enough room, so they had to make Mo leave.
Mm. Yeah. And then he became he had like a good developed a good rapport with Maggie, I think.
Yes.
Nice. So El Cid is back. I forget whether he just gave his motivation. I think something about being sexually attracted to the 400-year bloom. 400-year bloom. Or something. Yes.
It is his lady love. And I have to say, because you brought this up a few weeks back when we were talking about Leonardo da Vinci and how they had certain music just when the cavewoman was on. And there's a couple of other episodes where they do that, where they have a specific music. I really like the El Cid music of that. Oh,
yes.
That they play like every time he gets his point across.
That's Mr. Doug Katsaros doing
facts. He's a legend. I feel bad. We should have asked last week if Katsaros was going to have any musical credits in the new series.
That's a good point. I mean, he seems pretty occupied with everything that he does, but yeah.
That's true.
But that could be my rationalization.
It is such a huge part of the cartoon, you know?
For that matter, the lilting Japanese music scale that was just playing from the tape recorder. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very nice touch, sort of like a, I don't know, like a Chen Gong or something going on.
Yeah. It's one of those, if it stops playing, all of a sudden Mothra's coming out of the water.
Ah.
You know? It's just soothing the beast.
Uh-huh. Now here is my chief complaint demonstrated with this episode, and I don't mean to get down on it needlessly, but because it's so good when it's deficient, I need to point it out, is that all the songs that they elect to sing to keep the flower at bay are like public domain nursery school songs.
Oh, of course.
I guess because it's cheaper and because the show didn't have the kind of budget or inclination to be playing, I don't know, Freebird or whatnot.
Right.
But it happens repeatedly throughout the episode, like American Maid just singing a patriotic song and not doing it well.
Yeah, going the Roseanne route.
Yeah. Any younger listeners? We'll get into that later, I guess. But
yes. Go ask your parents or maybe your grandparents at this point. But no, I agree. I mean, it would have been easy enough to kind of just make something up, even if it was just pure gibberish of, I'm singing a song to keep you from killing us.
Right.
And Katsaros could have written something crazy for the background of that.
Take it from me. Good point. You don't want to mess with the 400-year bloom. It's trouble like nobody's business. Once again, El Cid with his bargain basement villainy. This flop house room he's rented somewhere, very, very poorly furnished. Because he's sensible. He's evil on a budget.
Yes, which we've mentioned before seems to be a running theme with the villains of the Tick.
Yeah.
Which is funny because Arthur only seems to ever so randomly worry about the fact that they're spending a small fortune to fight all this crime. You really have a lovely singing voice, American Maid. And now he has to sit near the plant. I don't think so. While he's in his giant apartment.
I think he's maybe just making sure the Tick doesn't screw things up.
Yeah. Terror erupted today at the annual Civic Flower Show. Arthur, wait, let's hear this. When Professor Akiko Ikebana, noted botanist, was kidnapped, Ikebana was on a national tour exhibiting the very rare 400-year bloom, which has... Any idea whose voice that is on the radio? Is that Pat Music?
I guess it would have... it doesn't sound like Kay Lenz, so by process of elimination, I guess so. Sally Vacuum doesn't do any of the radio stuff.
Right, and Pat's there anyway, because she's doing the B-Twins.
The B-Twins, yeah. Is it Tim who's got kind of a thing, or am I making that up because he's not here to defend himself?
Oh, trust me, Tim's got quite the thing for the B-Twins. Although I will tell you, if I ever get to a con that's got somebody cosplaying as the B-Twins, I will definitely get a picture
with
them.
I'm going to pollinate that.
Oh, yeah. Wait, where's my wife? Now, I did... several years ago, we went to the big convention in New York, and there was a Chairface Chippendale cosplay.
Oh, yeah?
That was unbelievable. I'm going to have to post a picture of it at some
Please
point.
Please do. I assume that the guy's head was in the chest, and then the chair went above that. That's awesome.
And he had a tiny little chair on his head. It was really, really well done. But you don't see too many Tick cosplayers anymore.
Well, maybe after this August.
Yeah, that's true. Although, if anybody has seen the movie Ted 2, there is a Tick cosplay moment in that.
No shit, really?
Yeah, and oddly enough, it's kind of ironic because the person cosplaying as the Tick has professionally cosplayed as the Tick for a short-lived series on Fox. It's open.
Come in. Don't tease. Who? Tell me.
It was Mr. Warburton.
Patrick Warburton is dressed as the Tick in Ted.
Yes, at a convention.
Oh my God, that's.
Yes, it's very weird.
Nice touch. Listen to me, Elsie, please. It's more dangerous than you can possibly know. You know, you're really getting on my nerves. Mission accomplished. I know. And even when El Cid is not given the best material, his voice, the voice work is top-notch there for Mr. Ed Gilbert.
Yes. Don't do it, El Cid. I think the last time we saw Mr. Gilbert was for Leonardo.
Yeah.
He was Gutenberg in the Leonardo episode.
I've got a message for you.
I want that as my text message ringtone. Let's get over here. Just that little sound effect. Goodbye, Professor.
Be a nice dinner. Wow, he's willing to let her be eaten by the plant, but moments ago he was playing Go Fish with her. El Cid, you sociopath.
Well, you gotta pass the time somehow. You know, and this is the days before the smartphone.
Problems,
isn't it? So, you know, people actually read and played games. And
looked each other in the eye. Like yes. The Hotel La Fleur du Mal. Yes. Bad Flower. If there's like a deeper joke to that, I don't know what it is.
It's like, where in the city could El Cid possibly be?
It's either the Waldorf Astoria or La Fleur du Mal. Now, she should have been all digested by then.
Yes.
But she's okay.
Or he opens it and just her legs fall out.
That'd be hideous.
I know, right? American made. I need your finger.
Wild vine? Now, maybe you'll think twice before you eat another human being. This is small
potatoes. I'm a El Cid's first appearance in the first season. And what about... has, in addition to lots of funny stuff, it has the whole subplot about the Tick getting sort of infected by El Cid's growth formula and then just growing various fruits and vegetables off of his body.
Yes.
Which adds all kinds of nice visual gags and stuff. Would have been nice to have something like that going on in this one as well.
Yes, but, instead of Arthur just needing some Sudafed.
Yeah. Yeah, this episode is really about fighting off the big monsters. Yes, we know. Who don't have personality, therefore they can't. You know, there isn't no like funny drama that ensues when the Tick fights, you know, big plant creature.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot less witty banter in this one than you would think with a villain like El Cid. Stop the music. I do like that the plant monster's only job is to walk around and carry a boombox. Instead of just turning it off, he destroys it. This is terrible. Well, at least my hay fever is gone.
Gesundheit. Wait. This must mean we're... That is a hell of an allergy, Arthur.
I don't get Yes, but now he can use his allergy in a bloodhound-esque style.
He's using it the way Superman might find kryptonite.
Yes.
Although, why would he want to?
This brings us back to another Arthur Science Corner.
Yeah, I wonder if this was the last time that they did that.
Yeah, I don't think they do it too many times. I mean, the first time, I believe, was Dinosaur Neil,
mm-hmm.
where we learned about
aspirin
to bring, you know, to relieve your headache and to bring dinosaurs down to normal human size.
That is a big one. Oh, I knew it would be big, but that is really enormous.
Now, this is a classic story of hubris gone wrong. But the villain, in fact, overreaches so much so that the enemy of his enemy becomes the tick's friend. Something like that.
Nice little touch of the fact that the moon still says, you know, it's still got some of the letters and the giant bite out of it.
Okay, sweetheart. Then you fire me, boy.
Yeah, a little family drama there amongst with the human bullet. I forgot about that. That's good.
Yeah, that was one of the standouts of this episode. Was, yeah. Oh, I sent him out to go play with his friends.
A little trouble with the old cannon, eh, Mitch?
Oh, hi, Chet.
Hi.
Oh, Chet.
Thanks a lot, Chet.
Don't encourage him, Chet.
Chet probably has his own family problems that we can only guess at.
He's just trying to get the bullet out of there so he can make time with Mrs. the Bullet.
Ooh. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah. Just going to give her the spatula treatment.
It'll tear the city apart. You've got to sing to it, Tick.
Okay.
LC ceases to become a threat at this point because his the monster he's unleashed is even worse than anything he could have conceived.
He's taking him down.
Something about when you stare into the abyss stares into you. I don't know.
Hey, look, the city actually has townspeople. That might be the first time we've seen people.
Right, occasionally.
Since like, the first couple episodes.
Yeah. Crowd scenes are difficult and expensive to make. But yeah, those city citizens handled that in a pretty typical way, running in terror and panic.
Oh, absolutely.
Good riddance to you, brutal woman.
Now you'd shoot a guy out of a cannon, wouldn't you?
And I've always thought that was a pretty clever retort that American Maid has there.
You're just great. Well, sing something.
What are you gonna sing, Tech?
I don't know how often Townsend Coleman got or gets to present his beautiful. What is that? A tenor?
But yes. His operatic.
Quite effective there.
Prowess there. If we ever if we ever get the pleasure of interviewing him, we'll have to ask him to sing us a few bars. Nobody
dance for us, monkey. Sing for us.
You want us to promote that next cartoon you're working on, boy?
Yeah. If you want the platform that we provide.
Now, maybe I missed something, but why was Tix singing at the little monster in comparison to the giant flower enough to kill the little monster?
Oh. I don't know.
I thought the only thing that... Oh, jeez. The only thing that really affected
Ooh.
By the singing was the giant plant.
That's a good point. I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to Mr. Edlund. Okay, so here I eat my words, so to speak, because I did forget. It's a redux, actually, with a double down.
Yes.
The tick, once again, excreting every kind of plant.
There's the corn.
It's a kernel again, yeah. Elseed's revolver is very ornate. It really does seem like something that a Spanish nobleman might carry.
Yes. And this song seems a little inappropriate for a children's show.
A Negro spiritual?
Yes. Sung by a white guy who's in a white costume.
Right.
You know?
His face covered.
Goo.
Arthur?
Well, maybe, like Navin Johnson, he was raised a poor black child.
That's another one for those millennials. Go watch The Jerk.
Please do. Now, it appears that as they're being led away in cuffs, the plant monster has a paper bag over his head.
Yes.
He's very sensitive.
He's got a family to protect.
He's sensitive about the press being there at the arraignment. So.
And one more sneeze just to get the point across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the structure of the episode is a lot of time spent with sort of Chekhov's plant, I guess. Don't let it grow. You'll hate it if it grows. It grows very quickly. And then it's pretty much a conventional, like, well, it'll destroy the city because it'll just keep growing, and they stop it very quickly. And
yes.
I won't say any more bad about it. I'll just say that this is packaged in between really quite good episodes of The Tick.
Well, what is our next quite good episode?
Well, I believe the DVD order has Evil Sits Down for a moment, followed by Heroes, followed by Ants and Pants.
Oh.
So that's triple good.
Those are all three really good ones. Evil Sits Down for a minute. It's just very funny. It's a big deflator mouse episode.
Mm-hmm. You know what would really, really chap Tim's ass?
What would chap Tim's
if we just
ass?
Watched it right now and did it?
Oh.
I'm kidding, Tim. Love you.
Oh, Tim.
He's.
You know what we could do?
What could we do?
Is we could tell him that we did. And it was the best episode we ever recorded.
Griffin Newman called in midway through with Peter Serafinowicz sitting next to him. I like it. I like it. Matt, play along.
Mess with him.
That was Bloomsday, everyone.
Yes.
With more exciting things to come soon.
It was a fun episode, but yeah, definitely not one of the stars of this season. And I agree with you that better things are right around the corner.
Mm. In fact, to that end, we will be, if all goes well, this episode will be posted 6 days from now, the 16th of August, 2016. And then 3 days after that is when The Tick, the live-action pilot, debuts on Amazon, which anyone can watch for free.
Yes, you do not have to be a Prime member to watch it. You can watch it no matter what.
Correct. And based on the, I don't know, the analytics or whatever the kids use today, they will determine whether, and it'll be people like you registering their enjoyment all over the internet. And if all goes well, it'll be ordered to series. And we wish it the very best of luck, particularly as our guest last week was such a cool guy and had such interesting thoughts about the whole thing.
Yes, and we would very much like to bring him back. So make sure that this pilot takes off, because we don't want him on just crying for an hour about how close he was, how close he was to his dream. Mm. So don't forget to go out and watch the episode, and watch the episode in its entirety. It's 30 minutes long. I think you can handle it. You know, you could put Facebook down for 30 minutes. It'll be okay. We'll be here when you get back.
We will. We want to thank the NeoZaz Network, which you should check out, which has actually a whole galaxy of podcasts on different interests.
This is true. Yep. And Tim is on several of them.
So Tick Spaulding, Tickathy, when we talk to you, we'll continue on with this thing very soon. Derek, any other thoughts you want to add before we sign off here?
No, I'm looking forward to next week, though. Would you like to do the honors?
Oh, yes, I certainly would. Everyone, have a safe week. Do the things you love. Badoosh.
Goodbye, everybody.